Is there sickness and disease over there? Cheryl and I just went to Germany for 2 weeks and preached in Berlin and Altenstein. I can't say some of those names. But we were over there for 2 weeks, and one of the things Cheryl noticed as we walked up down the streets there in the daytime, I have never seen a place with so many people in wheelchairs in Germany. Never seen so many sick people. Sick people everywhere in the church. Women with breast cancer everywhere. Isn't that amazing? What's happened? I mean, if God says, if you'll serve me, I'll take all sickness away from you, obviously, what is that nation not doing? But they're not serving him, that's right. And you go down here to Dallas or to Fort Worth or any of these other cities or to Denton, little town of Denton. I mean, they had the big hospital. One time I can remember there was only one hospital in Denton. Now then, just outside of Denton, going toward Dallas, is a huge one. Now then, just this on 35 coming this way, they built another huge one. Isn't that amazing? Three huge hospitals in Denton. What's wrong? We're not serving him either. Are we? No. Why do you think there's so much sickness and disease? If we obey him, how much sickness did he say he'd take away? Well, there's something wrong, isn't there? We as a nation are not serving God. Now then, the next scripture, Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Now, is there any other gods? Now, he's the only one. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now then, do you want to love him and to keep his commandments? If you do, what's he going to do? Is he going to bless your children? Yes. And he repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now, who's going to do this? Who's going to do this?
God.
And repay them that hate him to their face. To destroy them. God's going to destroy them. That's what he said. The next couple of verses. Verse 13, 14. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the land, your corn and your wine and your oil, the increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep, in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Now this is a promise to us from God under the old covenant. And we have a better covenant today, and all bases around one thing. Obey the king and his rules. That means to love him and serve him and do what he says. Do you know, as a nation, if we love God and worship him and serve him, there would be no barren, there'd be no sick,
right.
We wouldn't need a hospital. He'd take all sickness away from us. All we got to do is obey.
Right.
So this tells me, from these promises, when I read these, there's something wrong with this picture.
Right.
And the picture is us. We're not doing what he said. We're not walking in this God kind of love. Now then, when you think about this and what he's going to do, then let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll start out with verses 1 through 14, and I want to show you now what he says he will do in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, you know what it means to hearken to God's voice? It means read it and obey it. Is that right? But you got to hearken to it. If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, these blessings, we're going to read them, but he says, if you obey, these things are going to come upon you and overtake you. You don't even have to go out and look for them. They're going to overtake you. Do you like that?
Amen.
For blessings?
I do,
Let's see what these blessings are, starting verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city. Okay, so you live in the city, you're covered. Blessed shall you be in the field or in the country. So I'm covered out here. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. What is the fruit of your body?
Your children.
Your children. If you obey God and do what He says, your children will be blessed. What if you don't obey? What's going to happen to your children? They're going to be cursed. They're going to be sick. They're going to be afflicted. They're going to be tormented by the enemy. Blessed shall be your fruit of your body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your goats and the flock of your sheep. All of this shall be blessed. So far, I like all these blessings, don't you? Verse, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now then, do you see anything in this so far that you don't like? You like everything in this, huh? Verse 7 and 8, the Lord, who's in control here? The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you seven ways. Now when the enemy, which is in people, which is called the devil, when the devil and his host of demons comes against you to kill you, you don't have to be concerned at all about the devil. I mean, I used to think that I had to fight devils until I learned who was in control.
Amen.
I don't have to fight devils at all. All I got to do is make God happy.
Right.
Now then, the very first experience I had with a woman with a devil in her, I was asked by a Baptist preacher to come to Fort Worth on a Sunday morning. After church today, would you come down and minister to this woman? Well, I went down there, and this woman, she wouldn't come out, and she was a Spanish woman. And whenever, I didn't know her, I'd never seen her before in my life, but whenever I went down there and talked to them, I met the husband, and they had four boys, and big boys, and this, and right down the row, four of them. And then the other family was there. And when she wouldn't come out, I told them, I said, go back in there, and we prayed. I took authority over the spirits, and, you know, I thought I had a whole lot more power then against the devil than I just didn't know what I know now. But anyway, I did pray, took authority over the spirits, which technically, if I'm walking obedient to the word, I do have all power over the devil. And so they went out and got this woman, and this woman came out, and when she came out with her sister and her husband, she was screaming at me, I hate you, I mean, I'm going to hurt you. Well, I mean, you know, a normal Baptist deacon would have thought, whoa, I'm not welcome here, I better go home. But praise God, I'm not a normal Baptist deacon. And so I just told them to set her down there, and they did, and I knelt down in front of her, reached up to touch her hair just so I could see her face. I talked to her, and bam, she slapped me, bam, don't you touch me, I mean, I'm going to hurt you. You know what, get your attention, you know that? And so I'm kind of skeptical here now, and I told her, I said, no, ma'am, you're not going to hurt me. I said, you devil of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Now, I learned a great lesson this day. This woman, this devil in this woman said, no, I'm not coming out. I have legal right to be here. I thought, you're a liar. I said, the devil, God told me you're a liar. Here you are lying. You're telling me you have legal right to be here. You don't have legal right to be in this woman. I said, you beast, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Well, he ain't coming out. He ain't budging. This woman has already had a hysterectomy. She's had back pains and problems. And even after the surgery, she's still hurting just as bad as she was before. It wasn't, the problem was a demon inside of her. And so I couldn't get him out. And so I'm talking quietly to the Lord under my breath. And I said, Lord, this devil's lying to me. He says he has legal right to be here. I said, Lord, I got to know what to do. I said, you know, I come over here to get this woman healed. I'm your son. You told me to come. I said, Lord, this devil's lying. What do I do? He said, son, he's not lying. He's there because I sent him. And I almost said, I rebuke you, devil. You know, because I don't understand God and His principles. I mean, what would you do if God told you He sent a devil to torment a woman? I'd think, oh, no, that can't be God. But I said, Lord, you sent this devil? He said, yes. He said, I told you in Matthew 18 that if she didn't forgive, I would send the tormenting spirit to torment her. And said, she has unforgiveness. I looked at her. I said, who do you have unforgiveness toward? And her husband said, oh, that's real easy. Her first husband said, you see them two big boys right there? I said, yeah. He said, that second one, said, whenever he was born, her first husband left her in the hospital. He never supported her, nothing. Just walked off and left her and said, she's hated him with a passion ever since. I said, ma'am, you got to forgive him. She said, no, I ain't never going to forgive him for what he did to me. I said, ma'am, he's ruined your whole life up to now. I said, if you don't forgive him, he's going to ruin the rest of your life. So I finally got this woman to confess that sin, to forgive that first husband from her heart. Now see, in this magnificent scripture of Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, there's a story about this, and I read this a lot of times before I got this. But we're going to go right there. We'll remember where we are in Deuteronomy 28, but we're going to take a little side trip to Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and I'm going to show you what unforgiveness does to you under the new covenant. In Matthew 18, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I mean, you know, good grief. That's going way out there on the limb. If somebody offends me seven times in one day and I forgive them seven times, how many of you are willing to go there? I'll forgive him one time, but boy, you better not come back and do the same thing tomorrow. Is that the way we do business? Okay, I'll forgive you. And then you make a mistake the second time. And say, I told you not to do that again. Is that the way we are? Sure, we didn't forgive him the first time. But the Lord says here, when Peter came and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times in one day? You'd think that's safe ground, wouldn't you? Seven times in one day? The Lord says, no. Jesus said, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, that's a test, isn't it?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.